Call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us, Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, we've got a busy show today. We're going to bounce around to a lot of different sports. I know it's a kind of a slow time as we get geared up towards training camp. But, you know, oh, by the way, you want to know how slow it is? I'll tell you how slow it is. It's one of those times where we got summer league going on in the NBA, and so some teams, they go to different locations. Like, they had a couple of games in San Francisco. They just had a couple of games in Salt Lake City. All 30 teams are going to Las Vegas, and it started yesterday. The Orlando Magic and the Houston Rockets played a summer league game, and everyone's buzzing because Paolo Banchero and Jabari Smith were going to battle it out on the court. That's how slow it is when you have two rookies playing summer league ball, and everybody wants to know how that is going to play out. But we got some news from Wimbledon. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Rafael Nadal beat Todd Fritz on Wednesday, but on yesterday he had to withdraw from this semifinal matchup against Nick Kyrgios. So Kyrgios now advances to the finals. He will go face off against Novak Djokovic or Conor Berry. That match is going to go on today at Center Court. But I feel bad for Rafael Nadal. He really was struggling against Fritz, and in the end, he had to pull out due to an abdominal pull. 22 Grand Slams, was going for 23, and this also ends the calendar slam. So if he had found a way to have won Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, he would have completed the Grand Slam for the calendar year. But that all came to an end as he withdrew. And I had a funny little tweet send at me thinking that Fritz could advance. You know, they should just give Fritz the opportunity to go to the semifinals. It doesn't work that way, but I have to agree that I think that would actually be fun if they did it that way, but they don't, but it would be good if they did. Can you imagine losing a five setter and you're all disappointed, and then the next day they go, hey, can we talk to you for a second? Yeah, the guy that just beat you, he had an abdominal pull. I don't know if you noticed, he was struggling a little bit, but he's not gonna be able to continue, so we thought we'd give you a second chance here at Wimbledon. Like, oh my goodness. But if Nadal had showed up for the match today and just did one serve and withdrew, then Kyrgios would have won anyway. The fact that he's withdrawn early enough, I do think it raises like a question of like, well, can we just get somebody else to play in the match? All right, coming up next, we do want to give us a little tribute to James Caan, one of my favorite actors who passed away. And he does have a lot of relevance to the world of sports in a number of movies that he did. We'll talk about that next on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Coming up this hour, we are going to talk about NFL head coaches. I don't know, I mean, if you've been counting how many new head coaches that we've got in 2022, we're going to have 10 new head coaches of 32 teams. Nearly a third of all teams in the NFL will have brand new head coaches this upcoming season. We're going to talk about some of them, some of the challenges each one of them is going to face, kind of put it in somewhat perspective. Don't forget, at the end of the month, towards the end of the month, when Ron is gone on vacation, we're going to be starting some NFL previews. We're going to do a division a week all the way to the start of the season. So basically what we do is we do a team a day, and then on Friday we kind of do a wrap-up of the entire division. Sort of like a what have we learned segment on Friday. So we sort of put that in perspective. But, you know, Ron's going to be on vacation. Did I say Ron's going on vacation? Because Ron's going on vacation for like 2 weeks. So he's going to miss a good portion of our preview. Well done.
Well, I do what I do.
You do what you do. Yeah, exactly. Don't get me wrong. I'd like to disappear in July, too, for a little
bit. I mean, half of it's a baseball tournament. Yeah.
Well, I know, but still. And good luck to your son at the baseball tournament in Nevada.
In Reno. Going to the biggest little city in the world.
That's right. Reno's a nice little town. He's been to Reno many times for basketball championships and all that good stuff.
So, I once shot a man in Reno.
Just to watch him die. Yep. Reno's a nice little town. Because I was actually talking about this with a friend of mine, because we Just came back from our family vacation celebrating my mom's birthday, and we had the whole family. My sister flew in from L.A., and that was really the only time she could go on the trip and whatnot. So, but for me, when I was on the cruise boat, what did I see? I had NBA Finals on TV. I had the NHL Stanley Cup Finals on TV. Like, I had a lot of sports. We had the U.S. Open Golf Tournament going on in Brookline. So I left at a pretty high time in the sports world, and we know that July gets, you know, is kind of dead, and you know, little early August is kind of dead. But that's why we start our 6-week NFL, about 8-week NFL previews. So a division a week all the way through to the start of the season. All right, so we'll get to that coming up. But we found out yesterday that on the 6th, which would be Wednesday, actor James Caan passed away. And I love James Caan. I love him. I mean, Sonny Corleone is one of the most iconic characters in all of cinema. But, I mean, you think about some of the other movies that he's been in from all the way in the 1960s all the way until not that long ago, and some of the roles that he's played. And he certainly has a place in a format like this in terms of sports radio, because he played Brian Piccolo in Brian's Song. And if there is one thing that most sports fans will at least come to consensus on, is most men have cried watching Brian's Song.
In fact, the consensus is it's all right.
It is all right.
That's the only movie that a man is allowed to cry in.
If you get yourself getting caught up in crying during Love Actually or something like that, or Say Anything, you're going to get kind of criticized for it.
Yeah, but maybe it just hits you different. But
if you start weeping during Brian's Song, no one should hold that against you.
Nope, you're allowed.
No one should hold that against you if you start weeping during Brian's Song. But of course, James Caan played a lot of roles, a lot of different kind of roles. But he's probably more known as the tough guy, right? Not just necessarily mob boss, but a rough-edged individual. That's kind of the role that he played. And I was reading a lot of on him yesterday, and one of the things that he was saying was he didn't understand why actors would lose 90 pounds just to get a role. He's like, just kind of be who you are. And he knew who he was. Like, he knew who he was, and Hollywood knew who he was, and he played different kind of roles. Don't get me wrong, he didn't always play a tough guy, but that was kind of his type. That, you know, whether it was a mob guy like Sonny Corleone or like Mickey Blue Eyes, or even just a rough kind of publishing executive in Elf. Like, he always had these kind of roles where he had an edge. But one of my favorite roles with him is in a movie called The Program. And look, one of the reasons I liked The Program was because it was filmed at the University of South Carolina. The football scenes were filmed at Williams-Brice Stadium. Whatever. But it was a pretty good movie. It was about college football. He was the head coach. I remember when he gave the football to the running back and he said, if I see this.
Or no, if anyone else brings this back to me.
If anybody else brings this back to me.
You're cut.
You're cut.
And then you had that scene in the classroom.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And so, That's kind of, I was kind of sad by the news. He was 82 years old. He had a very, very full acting life. And, he's got some of the more memorable moments in cinema.
The other one, his iconic line, James Caan iconic line of that, for me anyways, was, are you hurt or are you injured?
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. Are you hurt or are you injured?
If you're hurt, you can still play. If you're injured, I got to take you off the field.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many times when I've coached kids in soccer, I've said that to them.
He's appeared in drama, comedies. I mean, he's been in all sorts of movies. And like I said, it was kind of sad to pass away. But I threw it out there because, again, there's a number of roles that he's been involved in that have ties to the sports world. And I mean, but Brian Piccolo is probably the best one. I was thinking about this. There are not a lot of movies in, where, like, I'll admit, and I'm not saying this as a tough guy. I will shed a tear at certain things. I don't get really weepy at movies. There's some that kind of hit me, but it doesn't affect me as much as it affects other people. But don't get me wrong. I've shed tears at certain other things, but it seems like that has always hit me in terms of sports movies. I don't know what it is, but I will say Inside Out. That movie Inside Out, the cartoon with that Bing Bong character. That kind of hit me. That kind of hit me rough.
That one does. If you're a parent.
If you're a parent,
because I remember my youngest brother, this is before he had kids, and he watched it with his wife. I don't even think they were married yet. And he's like, yeah, it was good, but, you know, I didn't, you know, it was hard to follow. You know, it's like I understood the story, but he didn't really get everything about it.
Right.
And I said, you know, I think it hits parents harder.
Yeah, I think without question.
You know, and so I told him, I advised him, because now he has two girls. I said, you know what? Give it a couple more years and watch that and tell me now that you don't feel it.
Yeah, but it's true, because when you have kids and they sort of are little, and then they give up all the things that make them kind of cute and lovable,
right.
You know, like little things. And then you see them as teenagers. Like I've got basically teenagers now. And, you know, gone are the...
grown man. What are you talking about, teenagers?
True. I got a 21-year-old junior in college. But now a senior in high school. My daughter's just talking to her the other day. I said, are you looking forward to going back to school? She goes, no, but she goes, I'm a senior, so I am kind of looking forward to it. I go, yeah, that's right. You're a senior.
Senior.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Wow.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and it's funny because you remember like when they're holding their teddy bear. And
yeah.
And, you know, so then you kind of memorize. But I think the one sports movie, and I know we've talked about it a number of times, that always gets me at the end is Rocky. It's just every time I see the ending of Rocky, I get like a little emotional. I think it's one of the most well done movies. And I get with Hollywood. I understand it. Believe me, I get the economics of it. If you can do a sequel, do a sequel. If you can do three, do three. If you can do four, do four. If the money's there, get it. I hate the fact that some of these movies like Jurassic Park start off great and then they end with a and some of these movies don't live up to it. But there's a part of me that every time I see Rocky's, the ending of Rocky, I think, this just end it right here. There's no more. No more. I don't want to know more about this story. I love it the way it is. I like the way this ends. You know, sports movies can hit me in a certain way. I don't know why. It hits me in a certain way. Brian Song certainly did. But also different other sports movies. Not The Program. The Program didn't leave me weepy-eyed, that's for sure. But I didn't do that with Rudy. I never found Rudy to be that sentimental. I think I was too cynical with Rudy because I was kind of like, this is kind of Hollywoodized.
Yeah, you know what? You know, quick little scene that gets me a lot is Miracle.
Oh, when, yeah, Miracle,
when
yeah.
Her, and the only part that is, what it is when Herb Brooks goes into the tunnel after beating the Russians.
Right, I know, yeah.
And it's just the way, like, the silent celebration that he had, and you just realize, like, you know, for me, I think back, it's like, he did something that no one thought was possible, and everyone was against him.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
that's
you know, right. It's just that feeling of, like, I told you I could do it.
I knew it, I could do it. But, yeah, Brian Song, James Caan, the actor, passed away. But that moment where Billy Dee Williams says, I love Brian Piccolo. When you say your prayers tonight, please pray that God loves him too. Like, that's like a really, really, you know.
I always forget that that's Billy Dee Williams, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because to me, he's only one person ever.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, That's right. I know.
Sorry, it's the nerd in me that only thinks of him as one person, that he only had one role ever in his entire life.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Exactly. But James Caan also was in the TV show Las Vegas in the early 2000s. TV show. Didn't do a lot of TV. A lot of the TV that he did were television films. So he didn't do a ton of TV in terms of episodes.
Or just a cameo.
Or a cameo. Sometimes he played himself in it. But a lot of TV movies. But, you know, obviously his big deal was being in movies. And I got to imagine that even with Jon Favreau directing it, getting him for Elf must have been a steal. It must have been just an extra bonus. You got Will Ferrell, and now you've got James Caan. That's got to be – like you're trying to put this movie together. And I've seen a little documentary on Elf, and they didn't have a ton of money to put that together. And they got Will Ferrell. That was great. But to get James Caan must have been like, oh, my God, he's got the perfect Walter Hobbs. Perfect Walter Hobbs.
I couldn't imagine anyone else.
I know, without question. Because he plays, again, like he's got that edge to him. He's got that tough guy edge, and that's what you needed to see the transition at the end.
Yeah, but know? But there's also, even with the tough guy edge, there's that sensitive
part to him. You need to make it,
throughout, turn. You know, like when he's just staring at the photo.
But also, of course, he's probably most well known for being Sonny Corleone in The Godfather, with the hot-headed temper, the older kid that ends up getting shot at the toll booth because he, you know,
horrible way to go out.
Horrible way to go out. Oh, boy, that scene is so incredible. How many bullets they pump into him at that movie? You know, but he. It's kind of I thought about this yesterday because when Ray Liotta passed away, you know, there was this like, oh, is Goodfellas better than Godfather in terms of like depicting the mafia? And now we've lost two of the iconic figures in both of those movies in a relatively short amount of time. So anyway, that's our little tribute to James Caan. We will get to that. We'll get back to him in a little bit throughout the morning today. We're going to talk NFL head coaches coming up. But coming up next, Rory McIlroy said something very interesting and somewhat surprising is probably the better word for it when it came to the LIV Tour. We'll have that for you next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, if you are willing to tell us the sports movie or movie that made you cry in honor of James Caan, who was Brian Piccolo in Brian's Song.
No shame here.
No shame here. Don't worry about it. Just come out and admit it. Is there a sports movie in particular, or any movie, but mostly sports movie, outside of Brian's Song? Because I think we all agree that's okay.
Yeah, that's
fine. In honor of James Caan, any sports movie that made you, maybe not weep, you don't even have to go that far. Just get you a little emotional.
When it gets a little dusty. Moment. I'll tell you another one. That's kind of silly, but again, it goes back to being a parent is The Rookie.
The Rookie, sure.
Yeah. You know, the story about Jim Morris being like a 30-some-odd-year-old
yeah, that's
pitcher.
Right. Yeah.
The scene that gets me is when, you know, he made the ball club he got the call up. He's like, yeah, you know, and his wife goes, yeah, but you just got to tell one person first. And he has to tell his son that he's going to be a major league pitcher.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And it just I don't know why that one always hits me like that would be such a cool call to make.
So Brian's Song, Field of Dreams, you know, any of those ones. You can go ahead, Field of Dreams if that's where you want to go. But, you know, like for me,
feels.
Rocky.
I don't know about Tyrion. Rocky. Is Rocky because the way it's set up, you think he's going to pull it out at the end?
Yeah. I'll repeat what I said about Rocky a while back. Which I think the movie, the ending of the movie is perfect.
Spoiler
because,
alert, just in case you've never case seen you it, seen you've it. Been living in a cave for the last 40 years.
I love the moment where Apollo Creed knocks, my favorite moment in the movie is when Apollo Creed knocks him down.
Yeah.
And he's struggling to get up and Mickey says, stay down, stay down, stay down. And he won't stay down. And he gets up and he points to Apollo, he says, come on. And Apollo just shakes his head.
Like gives him just that look.
At him and gives like, him that look. Like what are we doing?
Are you serious?
Are you serious? You're doing you right back at me. You just I put you down. Your manager
stay
told
down.
You to stay down. This is how it works. I just knocked you out, and then
I
just,
win. You lose.
And then when they're at the end, and he goes, you know, no rematch. There won't be a rematch because I don't want one. But then I think when the music starts. And then the announcer is announcing the winner, and all he wants is Adrian. Like, that's the only thing he cares about. He doesn't want to talk to the press. He doesn't want to answer any questions about the fight. He's all alone. He's by himself. The whole world is screaming at him, and all he wants is Adrian. And Adrian can't get to him until Paulie has to lift up the ropes, and that's how she gets to him. And that's all he wants. It's the only one he wants. He's looking for safety. He's looking for somebody that cares about him, the only person that cares about him. Everybody got a piece of him, including Mickey, because Mickey threw him out of the locker, right? Threw him out of the gym.
Yeah.
Gave his locker away. Told him he was a tomato can. But he brought him back in. Said, okay.
Great burn, by the way.
Yeah, right. I know. You want to come in? You want to do this? He even yells at him. He yells at him through the door. And Burgess Meredith walks away. Mickey walks away, dejected. And he goes out to chase him in the street to bring him back because he can't say no to anybody. Paulie gets a piece of him. Gatto gets a piece of him, his old mob boss or his loan sharking boss. Mickey gets a piece of him. The only one that didn't want a piece of him was Adrian. The only one that didn't want a piece of him was Adrian. She just loved him for who he was. Everybody got a piece of him. Apollo got a piece of him. The crowd got a piece of him. And Adrian's the only one. And so that's the only person he wants. That's the only person he wants. And she can't get to him. There's too many people. And she weaves her way through. And he's screaming. He's screaming. And he's desperate. And she gets, and Polly knows what's going on. And he pulls the thing up and she slides in. And that's the way it should have ended. I wish it would have ended. Rocky II was great. It was a great movie. You want to give him the title. Fantastic. And it showed the struggles that he had reading and the damage that boxing had done. All that. Fine. That's fine. But the ending of that, lock it up. Done. That picture is, I've said it many times on this show. I think that picture is an absolute masterpiece.
It
masterpiece
is.
In cinema.
But I'm going to disagree with you because we needed Rocky IV for him to end the Cold War.
Of course, because who else was going to
no
give
one.
The Cold War
There's
speech?
There's no one.
Not one person. Rocky went from a guy who couldn't read a teleprompter 2 feet in front of him to giving the most elegant Cold War speech in the history of the battle between the
USA
and Soviet
Union. The only thing
Union.
Wrong with the ending of Rocky IV was that it didn't end with him getting the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right, right. Why not? Why not? So, good. that's pretty much it. I will get to this Rory McIlroy story. I don't think in this segment I got enough time, but I will say...
My fault.
No. I love it. We're honoring James Caan today because I think James Caan is... one of the greatest actors.
Do you think
ever.
He was a little underrated? I mean, because we don't put him in that pantheon of like, you know, amazing actors.
Yeah, no, he's not Jack Nicholson or Marlon Brando or anything like that. No, he's not on that level. But
he had a role.
He had a role, and I liked pretty much everything he was in. Like, if he's in a movie, I have a tendency to like that movie. I think for me, just playing Sonny in The Godfather, like it's, you know, when I saw The Godfather for the first time, I was much older. Like I probably didn't see Godfather until I was in my 20s. But when I saw Sonny Corleone, I was like, I'm like him. I had a temper. I blew off the handle a lot. And I related to that. I would have been, if I was in the mob family, I would have been the irresponsible hothead, and my Godfather dad would have said, no, the younger one gets it. You're too nuts. you're too irrational and crazy. And that he says that to Michael Corleone. He says, you know, Sonny is just, you know, Sonny is, but, you know, but that's, so I always, when he sees Connie, like get beat, when Carlos beat Connie up and she comes in, he sees her face and he bites his hand because he's so enraged. And then he sees Carlos on the street. And this is James Caan. He sees Carlos on the street. He not only beats him up, Carlos is down and he goes, not done, picks up a trash can and throws it on his head. And just, and he goes, you touch my sister again, I'll kill you. And then he gets shot up at the toll.
Yeah.
So we're honoring James Caan today, but, yeah, but you know, getting off a movie tangent is always good. I'm always fine with that. Michael on Twitter, a feel-good sports movie that'll bring a tear to your eye is Rise, the movie about Giannis. That's recent,
okay.
Isn't it? That's just on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet.
I think it is.
No. I mean, I don't know.
You haven't seen
feels.
It yet.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it, Michael.
Yeah.
I will take your word for it that's the case. So
I mean, it's got to be an amazing story.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing how we know Giannis and what he's,
and
where
and
he
his
came
brothers?
From. Yeah, where he came from and what he is now is, you know, it's got to be, it's a feel good movie.
Yeah. Didn't play basketball until late.
Yeah.
Now is an NBA super mega star. Exactly.
MVP, world champion.
World champion, all of that. So, by the way, did you hear about the Minnesota Timberwolves and what the Brooklyn Nets asked for? Good Lord. They wanted Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. Yeah, and then the four draft picks.
Yeah.
That's who Minnesota the Timberwolves were supposed to give away two very important stars to the Brooklyn Nets in the process.
And then all the draft picks.
Yeah, and this is the problem. this is what's going to happen for Durant wherever he lands. Wherever Durant lands, that team is going to get depleted because Brooklyn is going to go, give us everything good about your team. Crazy. That's, I don't think Durant's going
to
be happy.
I don't think Durant would want to go to that team.
No. Now that it's now it's just him and D'Angelo Russell, I don't think so.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Tolbert continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Good Friday to you. All right, so the world's best golfers, or at least some of them, are at the Scottish Open this week. They're getting ready for the British Open, which will be next week. We're going to get an early preview of that at in hour number three. So we're going to talk a little bit what's going on at St. Andrews or what's expected to go on at in St. Andrews. So as you know, the LIV Golf Tour is getting some momentum as more golfers and more prominent names are starting to join that. They are two events in. They had a somewhat successful event in Portland. They got a good crowd, not a gigantic 35,000 crowd, but they got a good crowd. And there has been vocal critics, and some of those vocal critics have been pretty powerful, including Rory McIlroy, who at one point very early this year had said that the Saudi Golf League was dead in the water. But he's changed his tune now. And one time even said after even just not that long ago, talked about how, you know, hey, when you don't always need to do things for money. Like, it you know, there's other things about being a professional golfer. Like in terms of legacy and whatnot, you don't have to do everything just for money. But now they talk to him, and because of what's going on between this, the DP World Tour, which is basically the European Tour, PGA Tour, and LIV Golf, there seems to be these factions, right? Everybody seems to be in a camp. And McIlroy, I wouldn't say has changed his tune on LIV, but I think he's taken a step back, looked at it and went, okay, that's got more legs than I probably thought it was going to have. It's going to be here. So now he's calling for a somewhat truce. He said, quote, it's messy. I wish it hadn't gotten that messy. In hindsight, there are probably steps that were missed that wouldn't have made it as messy. Now, remember, he's one of the reasons it was messy. He's not blaming anybody because some of the fault lies on him and a number of other golfers that vocally criticized this thing from the inception. But I am one of those at the beginning of this that said that I think this was, you know, sports washing, Saudi money. It could really make a mess of the PGA Tour. But I got to admit, it's got more legs than I thought it did. And I think Greg Norman is surprising a lot of people. There was always going to be the lore of money. There was always going to have that. They were never not going to have money to play players. I think what is starting to surprise some people is the fact of who is just going over there to play on that you thought maybe fine financially and wouldn't want the hassle of dealing with the questions about sports washing, the backing of something supported by the Saudi government, having to deal with human rights abuses in that country and the protests that follow, all being just kind of thrown into all that. It's Dustin Johnson, it's Phil Mickelson, it's Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, Louis Oosthuizen, Lee Westwood. It's now Matt Wolf, a rising golfer. Well, he's struggled a bit, but nevertheless, he's still one of the rising names. Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed. All of a sudden, you're starting to see, okay, guys are really playing on this. Now, there is a report, or at least rumor, and who knows how much of this is clickbait or not, but we'll see, that after next week's British Open, there'll be a lot more big names going to the Saudi Golf League to participate in this. It's just too much money. And, oh, by the way, the major season comes to an end. So some of these guys are like, you know what? I could go over there. I'll make my money. I'll do the British Open without any controversy. And then now that it's the rest of the year is free and clear, I won't qualify for the Tour Championship anyway. That's going to go in Atlanta at the end of the season. I won't be qualifying for that. So why not make as much money on LIV Golf as I possibly can? But McIlroy is also saying that he would like to see the three tours come together and have some sort of peace summit. Now, did Rory McIlroy act like there was going to be a potential for a peace summit, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago? No. What is he seeing now? What is he seeing now that makes him go, you know what? I think it's time we sit back and talk about this. Because instead of saying like what he had said before, he's now saying, you know, I understand why these guys are going over there and playing. I understand why they're doing it. So this LIV Golf Tour is kind of here to stay. Jay Monahan keeps digging his heels into the sand saying, nope, this is just a distraction. There is nothing better than the PGA Tour. We have no interest in sitting down and working with them. But I think that's going to change too. I really do. Because I really think that when we were talking about this with Jay Coffin last week, which was when you have this event going on, or was it earlier? I think it was earlier this week. When you have this event that's going on in Portland, right? And people are saying, who's going to go? Well, there were a lot of people in Portland that decided to go. Now, again, I don't know if they paid for the tickets. I don't know if they got them for free. I don't know what the economics were. But whatever it was, what the selling point was is that in the end, these guys who live there, the tour never comes there. They get the Corn Ferry Tour, which is like the minor league of the PGA Tour. But they never get Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka and those guys. They never get those guys. So here, imagine if you're living in Portland, you're working in Portland, you go to a couple of Trailblazers games a year, maybe you see the Timbers play, you go to an Oregon or an Oregon State game, right? And then all of a sudden there's a golf tournament going on not far from your house at Pumpkin Ridge, maybe a 20-minute drive, maybe a 30-minute drive. And on the list of players that are playing are some of the world's best golfers and major winners. That's what so in the end, Greg Norman was right. You've got to suffer through the growing pains. But once you knock the wall down, I underestimated this. I thought in the end they would have all the flash cash, but nobody would really take it. Like none of the big stars would really take it. They were comfortable in their own endorsement deals. They were comfortable in the amount of money they were making. They're competing for major championships and PGA Tour championships and whatnot. No, they won't go. They won't go there. Why would they, why would they want to just put their legacy into something backed by the Saudi Arabian government? Apparently they will. No problems. And as we said a couple of times, I think one of the reasons why next week, or a week after, I should say, when the British Open is over, and if the reports are correct, that there will be a number of players, as soon as they're done with St. Andrews, announce that they're going to live, is because Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, and a couple of other guys, including Sergio Garcia and Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood, those are the guys that sort of knocked down the initial wall. They were willing to take all the tough questions at the press conferences, and they all did it too. When the American press got a hold of this thing in Portland, Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed and Pat Perez, those guys had asked those kind of questions too. But as I've said many times, eventually you have to stop asking that because you're not going to get the answer you want, and you end up getting repeated answers, which you could just go back in the archives and say, well, that's what he was saying about this back then. That's what he's saying about this now. Eventually, the questions about what sports washing and all of that are going to come to an end. And I think that's what Rory McIlroy sees. Now, do I think Rory McIlroy goes to live? If I'm a betting guy, I'm going to bet no. I think in the end, he's like, I'm going to stand my ground on that, but I'm not going to be overly critical of it anymore because here's the thing. Now that I know this thing's got some legs, now that I know that it'll be around, maybe when I'm 37 and I'm not playing as competitive as I think I am, or when I turn 40 and I'm not as competitive as I thought I'd be, maybe I can jump on that thing and cash out even for more money. And maybe he sees a future where that's going to be a better option than whatever he would be doing in Champions Golf or whatever, whatever that is. But I got to admit, it was a little surprising. And here's the other thing too. This is another quote that he had. He said, one of my big things has always been to grow the game of golf. If it helps grow the game of golf, I don't have any, what difference does it make to me where our players are coming from? Well, that's interesting because in the end of that, that's such a far cry from what he was saying before, which is, it kind of does matter where the money comes from. He's changing his tone and he's saying different things. And I honestly think that the reason that he's doing that is because he's seeing the writing on the wall, which is this isn't going away. These are my friends. We can go to war with this, but what difference does it make? And if this is going to be a part of the golf landscape, why don't I try to help embrace it and make it part of the growing of the game aspect of it? Jack Nicklaus said something similar, right? Jack Nicklaus said the same kind of thing. If it's good for growing the game, it's good for growing the game. All for growing the game. Okay. That's fine. But in the end, you knew that if it was going to be successful, it would. Your criticisms of it wasn't that it wasn't going to grow the game. Your criticisms of it was, where was the money coming from, and why would anybody want to get in bed with that? And now you're finding out just about everybody seems to want to get in bed with that. Well, you know, we'll see after the British Open. Like, I'd be shocked if Justin Thomas goes. You know, Justin Thomas's father was a PGA professional, not a touring pro, but a club pro. You know, that there's something special about that to him. The other thing is I don't see Jordan Spieth going. I think he's entrenched in the PGA Tour. But Colin Morikawa could be going. Colin, that would be a huge name. He's the defending champion of the British Open. That could be a big deal. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up in hour number two, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we'll talk NFL head coaches as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, Michael. Besides Elf, my favorite James Caan role was The Gambler. They did a remake with Mark Wahlberg, but I thought they made his character too dark and sinister. Yeah, The Gambler is a good movie. I haven't seen that in a long time, too.
I said this during the break. That's the problem when you have these celebrities that pass away. You're reminded of movies that you haven't seen in forever, and you're like, man. Oh, God, I forgot about that movie.
Axel Fried.
I don't have enough time during the weekend.
That was like early 70s. I know, I don't either. I don't either. You know what would be a great—I don't know. One day I hope there's a service where you can get any movie you want anytime you want, you know, without— like, you just pay one price instead of going to, like, different services. Like,
yeah.
I wonder if it's on Netflix. I wonder if it's on Amazon. I wonder if it's on— like, wouldn't it be great if you just said one thing? Like, we have them all. Like, you can pay a small amount of money and you can get anything you want. Because, like, how would somebody see a movie? How would somebody see The Gambler right now? Like, somebody listening right now goes, you know what? I remember that movie, but I haven't seen it in 25 years or 30 years or 40 years. I'll go see it. I want to see it. Where do they go? How would you see it? You have to order it from Amazon as a DVD? Do they even have it on DVD? Like, can I get it on Netflix? Can I get it on some sort of movie streaming thing?
There's only two ways you can see it right now. You can order and buy the DVD through Amazon, or you can watch it through Prime Video.
Oh, I have
You can rent it for $2.99.
I have that. So I can watch The Gambler this weekend. I think I might. That was a good movie.
Yeah, Paul Sorvino.
Yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time. I think 74, 75 is when the movie came out, when that movie came out. Yep, Paul Sorvino was in that. 74, all right, I landed that.
Look at that.
I'm trying to think, what's the name of the guy? What's the name of the guy who played Paulie in Rocky? Wasn't he in that? Burt Young,
yes he is.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the IMDb page.
Oh, you are, okay, right, yeah. Now. I was saying, wasn't Burt Young in that?
Yep.
Look at me. My brain's on fire this morning.
That brain's popped up
because it doesn't happen very often on this program.
James Woods is in it as well.
James Woods is in it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Forgot about that, too. Yeah, lock this show in because this is when my brain's cooking. Unlike the other day when I said the Cleveland Browns would take their time in trading Baker Mayfield.
Wait till week three, week four.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wait till the suspension and then let teams fight it out.
Right. Makes all the sense in the world. Nah, we'll just do it now.
The Carolina Panthers called up the Browns and were like, we're thinking done. Wait, you haven't done. How about a fourth round, fifth round pick in 2020? Done. All right. Well, we'll send the paperwork right over. Click. Browns like, good. Well,
people will stop asking us about that now.
Oh,
17 million other questions to go.
Yeah, exactly. And I literally thought the Browns would sit back and go,
let's just let the phone calls come to us. Let's just sit and wait. They'll call us. We won't have to call them. I'm sure they were on the phone with Carolina going, we'll take anything. I mean, just for the love of God, we'll take anything. We don't want any more questions about this. This guy doesn't want to be here. We don't want him here. Please, we'll just get rid of him.
So wait, you mean to tell me you're going to give me a fifth round pick that could be a fourth round?
Yeah.
And we pay you $10.5 million?
Yeah, we pay the $10 million? Okay. Done. Send it over.
Yep.
Fax that or email that offer to us. We will sign it.
Send it to Goodell. That's good.
That's right.
Trade accepted, even though it wasn't accepted in any video game ever.
Exactly. Yeah. That would get through any video game and any video game trade. The trade office at the NFL must go, are we missing a piece of paper from this?
Is this it?
Was there something else that was supposed to go with this?
Is there a counter? What do we got here?
Yeah. Unlike what's going on, like Baker Mayfield, that like in the NBA, because you have to have value to value. Like if you get rid of a player, you're supposed to get equal whatever the value is, like how many draft picks are valued at a certain amount or whatever. You have to get somewhat equal value. The NFL doesn't work that way. Like, you can trade a player for a donut if you want, right?
Exactly.
like you can go, just take them. Like, what's a fifth-round pick in 2024?
You know what? I mean, I know it was meant as a joke. I'm going way back. You remember the TV show Coach?
Yeah.
When Coach is past being a college coach and he became an NFL coach, which was stupid, they were jumping the shark. There was a scene where he finally decided on the first-round draft pick, and he was going to draft Keyshawn Johnson, right? But the owner of the team had already traded the draft pick for some land.
That's right.
I always thought that was a joke, but now you're looking at it like, could happen.
Some of these things are like, here you go. All right. It's Tony D. It's Ron Culver. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Thanks for listening on a Friday.